Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
The Boilermakers are making their way to Nashville in advance of their Music City Bowl matchup with Tennessee. Why will this game be different than the last trip to Nashville? That and basketball has its final tune-up before the restart of the Big Ten schedule. We'll talk about those topics and more on Golden Black Radio. Kyle Charter's here with Tom Dienhart, Brian Newbert by in just a couple of minutes. Tom, you're in Nashville. How's it looking down there?
It's kind of wet, a little overcast, damp. It's going to be fairly warm, I guess, for late December. I think I saw today the high, I think Thursday, is going to be 65 with about a 20% chance for rain. So, yeah, it should be at least a nice day come Thursday. But like I said, a little wet, a little rainy here leading up to that day.
You won't be able to attend the pregame party, nor will everyone else. It got canceled on Sunday due to cautionary measures, I suppose, due to COVID. Not sure the party matters all that much. The game, however, does. As of now, it's full steam ahead. Do you anticipate that we'll be able to play this game Thursday?
People I've checked in with on both sides say all systems go right now. I know Tennessee practiced yesterday at Vanderbilt. Purdue's supposed to go today. Could be on the practice field right now. We're supposed to have a media session early this afternoon. So we'll check in Jamarcus Shepherd and a few players then. But, yeah, before I left yesterday for Nashville, again, I checked in and was told, yeah, everything's a go right now. But as you know and as listeners know, my goodness, every time you look at the crawl or check your Twitter, social media, it seems like some bowl game's been canceled. But, again, looks like this one so far is a go and doesn't appear to be any issues. So, like I said, we're still a long way from Thursday, though, right?
Yeah, hopefully everything stays status quo in terms of the game between now and then. Certainly would like to be able to play it. Would like to be able to play it a little bit better than Purdue's last bowl game a few years ago, one in which many Purdue fans just choose to forget or intentionally ignore. And for good reason, Purdue got just throttled by Auburn. You know, I think Purdue's probably in a little bit better position as a program now than it was a few years ago. Probably a little bit more depth, probably a little bit more physicality, strength, athleticism, deeper. Are those all the reasons why you anticipate that regardless of whether Purdue wins or loses the game, we won't see a repeat of the disaster that happened a few years ago?
Hopefully not. I mean, Tennessee's a good team. I mean, 7-5, sort of an on-the-rise program under first-year coach Josh Heupel. They're excited to be here. You know, the program's sort of been circling the drain for a few years, cycling through coaches year after year. And it looks like they finally struck gold with Heupel. So, Purdue's equipped, to weather this storm. Maybe you win. They're a five-point underdog. Of course, they're going to have to do so if they win without George Karlaftis and David Bell, their two best players. And, Kyle, I was told this morning Milton Wright is not here. I was told Dedrick Mackey is not here. And I was told starting left offensive tackle Greg Long is doubtful. So you could be looking at a starting wide receiver core of T.J. Sheffield, Brock Thompson, and Jackson Anthrop with guys like, Preston Terrell, Deion Burks, Colin Sullivan, having to help out at wide receiver as well. The staff's going to have to be resourceful at wide receiver. And as far as replacement for Mackey, Sanusi Kane's going to be the guy there. He played a little bit of corner this year, came to Purdue as a safety. But I know they've cross-trained him to play cornerback and look for him to start opposite Jamari Brown at cornerback. So not a lot of depth at corner. I know Chris Jefferson can play there a little bit too. So, again, if Purdue's going to pull this off, they're going to have to be resourceful.
So the Milton Wright thing, I mean, that's sort of been simmering, it feels like, for a couple of weeks with some concern about his availability for the game on Thursday. And even listening to Jeff Brohm, if you sort of you know, can read between the lines a little bit here over the last week. He has alluded to the fact that Purdue's going to have to go a little bit deeper at wide receiver, which, you know, you knew they were going to have to go somewhat deep without David Bell, and now without Milton Wright. Is there anything more you can tell us about Wright, like what's up there?
No, you know, just speculation. But, again, he's not here, not going to play. Same with Dedrick Mackey. You know, Mackey started all 12 games this year, a fifth-year senior, three interceptions, 35 tackles, a couple PBUs. He's a solid player. And, Kyle, you're playing a Tennessee offense here that the likes of which Purdue has not seen this year. A very quick tempo, go, go, go attack. Want to run as many plays as they can. I have a veteran quarterback, some good receivers. So that's what I'm trying to say here is you certainly need your full deck of cards defensively to help combat a Tennessee offense that is very unique and very explosive and goes very fast.
Purdue has like three DB transfer portal guys. Can any of them play on Thursday?
Yeah.
They're not eligible, right?
Wouldn't that be good?
Reese Taylor cannot play on Thursday.
Be nice to have him. Bryce Hampton, the kid from Adams State, and T. Denson from Kansas State are the three transfers. They'll be here. They'll be here at the start of the second semester. Unfortunately, not December 30th in Nashville to help the Boilermaker secondary out. So, yeah, you know, like I said, the depth there's always been thin. That's why Purdue hit the portal so hard here in December, looking for defensive back help. And they're going to have to try to scrape by here against, again, like I said, Tennessee offense that I think that can throw the ball pretty good with that quarterback, Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, that offense is pretty good and runs at a tempo, as you've written about and talked about, that Purdue has not seen this year. You know, Tom, Purdue did not have to play any true freshmen, at least burn their redshirts. Mm-hmm. I think they played a handful of snaps maybe against UConn and perhaps some others. Outside of the punter, of course. You know, that speaks, I think, a little bit to where the program is, that it has, you know, built some upperclassmen depth, has had some guys stick around, and has filled some roles. But those guys now, at least a few of them, are going to have to play on Thursday, right? So how well do you think a guy like Preston Terrell can play, given that he doesn't have a whole lot of snaps?
I know they like him. They talked about him during the course of the year as a guy that's impressed them. And Deion Burks, I think, is a true freshman wide receiver they like the most. He's a smaller kid from Michigan, Belleville High School, good program. And, again, I know he's a guy they like a lot. So he's a wideout, a young wideout. I wouldn't be surprised, again, if you see quite a bit of him maybe to help fill out that rotation. Because remember, too, Kyle, they've been out with Mershon Rice and Abdul Rahman Yassin for most of the year with injury as well. So those two have been out. We know about David Bell not being here. Now Milton Wright. And also know this, Brock Thompson, he's banged up. And Jeff Brom said it. He's playing hurt. He's going to have surgery after the year. So he's not 100% either. So, again, who knows? Maybe there's a trick up there. Maybe they've got someone else on defense going to make a wide receiver. I don't know, but going to have to be, like I said, resourceful, and everybody's going to have to do some and a little bit more probably to pull this one off.
Yeah. You mentioned Reese Taylor earlier. He transferred to Purdue, the transfer portal from Indiana. Good player. I mean, he's played a lot at Indiana, mainly as sort of the third corner and nickelback, but a good return guy as well. Purdue's had a few guys now transfer here over the last year from Indiana to Purdue, which, you know, maybe is interesting in its own right, but it's a good pickup for Purdue.
Yeah, 2017, Indiana Mr. Football. Ben Davis High School led his team to a state title. The quarterback, played some quarterback at Indiana. Threw a little bit of everything, but he settled in at cornerback, obviously, at Bloomington, and not the biggest guy in the world, but a great athlete, very dynamic, and a veteran player who could probably maybe help you in the return game, obviously on defense, a cornerback, and special teams too. So without a doubt, a guy that you love to have on your roster. And again, Samson James came here in August from Indiana. The year before, they got Demarjay Lewis, the defensive tackle. So, Kyle, there's a little pipeline from Bloomington to West Lafayette here, buddy.
Yeah, I'm not sure Indiana fans love that all that much, but certainly Purdue has added a couple of good players here over the last year. So what's the schedule like here going into the game on Thursday? You mentioned that Tennessee is practicing at Vandy. Where is Purdue practicing, and what's sort of the schedule here for the next few days?
Yeah, not sure where they're practicing. I'll have to find that out. Our media availability today, Tuesday and Wednesday, about 12:30 Central Time at the Opryland Hotel. And then that's, you know, the Wednesday press conference. Today's offense, Tuesday's defense, Wednesday's a joint press conference with the two teams' coaches.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the availability there. And Thursday's game day. And, yeah, stay tuned. They got some. I posted a story today. I obviously have some stuff out of the presser and just things of that nature. So trying to keep everybody sort of up to speed on what's going on down here in the land of Waffle Houses and Shoney's.
I love Shoney's, man. Remember the old Shoney's on 26 down here in Lafayette? That's a good place.
Oh, man. I don't think I ever went to Shoney's with the sun out.
What? Interesting.
Always had to be past midnight. Had to be past midnight.
Oh, I got you, yeah. Late time at Shoney's. All right.
Breakfast
bar. We've gone off the rails here. Thanks, Tom. Stay healthy
down
there.
Will be, my friend.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Brian a little bit about basketball. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm, inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Golden Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, it will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. It works with top lenders to do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, that's A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G, at jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Purdue back in action again on Wednesday after the break for the holiday. They'll take on Nichols in an early game, 5 o'clock tip-off. Brian, did the break come at a good time for Purdue?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out. I did think that, you know, Purdue really figured something out against Butler, and it sort of reminded me of the Arizona game in Atlantis a few years back where it all just kind of clicked after a couple of bad losses or a couple of, well, in that case, a couple of bad losses. In this case, it would have just been a couple of bad performances. And situations like that, you'd kind of rather just kind of ride the lightning, you know, and but to quote Metallica on a Monday morning post Christmas, you never know what you're going to get with these shows. But the other part of it too is that, you know, rest is always a positive thing. Practice is always a positive thing. You know, Purdue has to be kind of the best version of itself starting right after this Nichols game. And, you know, Matt Painter's track record when his teams have a couple of days of game-free practices is pretty good. And so I guess we'll find out when Wisconsin comes to town. But I would say that's a hard question to answer right now. You could argue both ways.
What do you think Purdue learned against Butler? Did it learn an intensity level? I mean, it played at just a different level toward the end of the NC State game, which sort of saved that game. Do you think that it took that into Butler and learned that it has to play at another level? It can't just coast through these games like it felt like maybe it thought it could, therefore a game and a half?
Well, I'm not a psychologist, even though I lied about that on my resume. But it seemed to me like against Butler, they grasped the reality that they have to play together and they have to be more disciplined on defense. I know Butler was shorthanded, but I don't really think that had all that much to do with it. I think Purdue could have played a lot of teams that day and they would have had a similar result, and they could have played virtually anybody that day and won, because I thought they played with a certain togetherness on defense that you hadn't seen a whole lot of this season. And if the NC State game was and the Rutgers game was kind of what scared them into buying into that, good for them. Because I thought prior to that Butler game there was some buy-in missing at the defensive end of the floor. I always kind of theorized that Purdue's offensive success early in the season, how easily things came to them, you know, from an offensive perspective, you always worry that that's going to condition a team to just believe that they can just outscore anybody. And we all know that's not reality in the Big Ten. That will never be reality in the Big Ten. And Purdue had to change. And if it was the Rutgers game and it was 30 minutes of that NC State game that was the turning point in that regard, then Purdue's going to be much better off for it.
Yeah.
Everything's on the table for Purdue moving forward if Purdue defends the way that they defended against Butler. And I don't necessarily mean as effective as they were, but just how they conducted their business. I think that was a really big deal for Purdue. They took pretty good care of the basketball too, and that's the other thing that Purdue simply has to get its arms around. And I thought they did a pretty good job against Butler too. If Rutgers and NC State was a step toward that as well, then Purdue's going to be laughing about the Rutgers outcome here in a couple months probably.
Yeah. The Big Ten will get restarted, as we mentioned, with Wisconsin on the 3rd, whatever day that is. How do you think the Big Ten stands up? To me, it looks like there's a couple of tiers, and maybe Purdue is alone on tier one. We'll see about that. But Purdue, Ohio State, Illinois, and Michigan State appear to be a little bit better than everyone else, in my opinion. Illinois, to me, looks like, I know in the power rankings I've written here recently, I have Ohio State 2nd, but, man, Illinois looks really good. I think that's going to be a really difficult game for Purdue. But how do you think the Big Ten has looked through the first part of the season here before the real Big Ten slate gets started?
I think kind of up and down. I think, you know, I think a lot of teams in the league still have a lot of questions to answer. I think there have been some teams who've overachieved a little bit. I think Minnesota will come back to earth. I think Wisconsin will, you know, come back to earth. I think those teams have pretty limited upside. I think the team with the most upside probably in the league is Michigan, and they obviously haven't figured things out yet. I think Illinois has sort of been, how should I put this? I think they have a very tenuous hold on success because I think their guard play has been so up and down. And I think there's just a certain wild card quotient to them anyway. I think Indiana will probably come back down to earth a little bit. I'm not saying they can't be like an NCAA tournament team, but I don't think their record is reflective of sort of what they are. I think Michigan State, you know, they've got some really, really good young players, but they're really young in the Big Ten, and that typically that's pretty treacherous. I think Purdue has the most upside in the league, and I know I just used the term upside to describe Michigan, but I think Purdue's got the most going for it, to be honest with you. And I think that it's just a matter of, did Purdue grow from some of the times it struggled in non-conference play? I think the league is right there for the taking, to be honest with you. I don't think the league looks as formidable heading into the resumption of conference play as it has in years past. But we all know that once Big Ten play starts, things have a funny way of changing. They already did, because you saw the Iowa and Rutgers games didn't turn out the way, you know, most would have expected on paper. You saw Minnesota go to Michigan and win there, and crazy things happen because the basketball changes, the level of scouting changes, the intensity level changes, the defense changes, everything changes.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a matter of who's the most adaptable to that here in the next couple weeks. That's going to have the most success and put themselves in a pretty good early position. Purdue has to turn it up now. I mean, there's no easing into this here. They already denied themselves some margin of error by losing at Rutgers. They've got to be really good, you know, starting with Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Purdue's been the best team. I agree that I think it also has the best upside. To me, no one else in the Big Ten can shoot the ball. Like, your upside, in my opinion, is – your ceiling, at least, is low when you can't shoot. And who else in the Big Ten can shoot?
Good question. I don't know if I've necessarily watched. I'm trying to not watch riffraff games this year. So I'm trying to only see the really good games, and for whatever reason, I've missed a lot of them this year. So I don't know if I've necessarily seen everybody play as much as I've seen. I've seen Indiana play a bunch of times. I've seen Maryland play a bunch of times for some reason. I don't even know if I've seen Michigan play. I think I was going to watch them play North Carolina, and didn't the horrible NC State Nebraska game basically cut off the first half of that game? And by the time they threw it to that game, the game was over.
Yeah,
I don't know who else can shoot. That's a good question. Wisconsin normally can shoot. I don't know if they can this year, but it is funny how, and we've been kind of talking about this for years. It is funny how. When did shooting become such a novel thing? You know, when did having a bunch of guys who could shoot really set you apart the way it set Purdue apart the last 5, 6, 7 years? You know, I don't understand how that went away in basketball. And nowadays, it should be everybody's priority because everybody wants to shoot threes. That's what all these kids are doing right now is they're all shooting threes. That's what the NBA is doing, and things tend to trickle down to college basketball from the NBA. I just don't understand why every school in America is not doing what Matt Painter is doing and recruiting shooters every single year. It just doesn't make any sense to me. How Fletcher Loyer, you know, only had like 4 or 5 high major offers before he committed to Purdue blows my mind. Like, what are you guys looking at? What are you valuing in basketball players nowadays that is more valuable than that? You know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. But if that's a big advantage for Purdue this year, hey, great for them.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this about Purdue, about different players at Purdue over the last several seasons. If you took Purdue's best shooter, whether it be Ryan Klein a few years ago or maybe Sasha Stefanovic now, and put that shooter like on Ohio State right now, what a different team the Buckeyes would be. Because Ohio State's really good. It's got really good pieces. E.J. Liddell is really good in a matchup headache, but it can't shoot otherwise. Just put one shooter on that team. I mean, it's crazy. It'd be a top 5 team. They can't shoot the ball.
I don't understand it. You know, I think certain programs have to recruit the highest rated kids they can find. And, you know, they don't always value putting pieces around those guys. I mean, it's been that way with Indiana for how long? How long have they not been able to shoot? Like, you're in Indiana. Kids in Indiana typically can shoot. But sometimes these programs are beholden to we have to keep the fans happy. We have to keep in the headlines by going after this five-star kid, that four-star kid, whatever it may be. And then they blow off Ryan Klein because of it. And, like, good for Purdue, because Purdue's right there to scoop it up, because that's what Purdue values, and that's how Purdue's been winning for years now. Ryan Klein would have lit himself on fire to go to Ohio State out of high school, probably. Ryan Klein probably would have been very, very receptive to Indiana recruiting him out of high school, and both of those schools didn't even recruit him. And, you know, he ended up choosing Purdue early over Belmont. And how many games has Belmont won the last, you know, X number of years? And there's a reason for that. I understand they're like a low-major, mid-major program, but why do you think they win so much at their level? Because they have Ryan Klein's, you know? I just don't understand how these teams don't value some of these things. Passing the ball, basketball IQ, shooting the basketball. Dakota Mathias, I understand he was not the highest-end athlete out there. But you know what? You could probably find room for that on a team full of athletes if you really had to. Mm-hmm. Where Ohio State was on that, I can't remember who they had committed in that class, if they had somebody else. But it doesn't make any sense to me.
With all that said, now about shooting Purdue.
And I only get paid hundreds
of dollars. Purdue is set to go 3 of 35 for three-point range. Now, on Wednesday against Nichols, since we've talked so much about Purdue shooting.
All right, thanks, still probably wouldn't matter. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast. It's coming up next. This is Golden Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Bowl game this week, Purdue against Tennessee and Nashville on Thursday. We will have a pregame podcast for that will drop on Wednesday. So be sure to look out for that, however it is that you subscribe and listen to your podcast. All right, that'll do it for our show. Be sure to check out more at goldandblack.com. Thanks to our sponsors, and for Tom Beinghardt and Brian Ubert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.